The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Market-moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Jim Cramer is over at One Market in San Francisco. Wrapping up what has been an amazing week for Jim out west. Let's give you a look at futures as we get ready to begin trading for the final day of trading of the week. Do we have that? Maybe not. All right. Well, if we don't, we'll get to our roadmap. It does start with that record run for stocks. Major indices seeing a four-day win streak, the Dow nearing 40,000 for the first time, and the S&P, it has been holding above 5,200. FedEx shares also surging this morning, despite what was a revenue miss for the eighth straight quarter, the company saying it's seeing results from cost-cutting efforts. And are there some warning signs in retail? Nike and Lululemon shares both moving lower. Nike is seeing slower growth in China. Lulu perhaps less optimistic about its business right here in North America. Let's start with the markets and that record rally achieved. Despite that pullback, by the way, interestingly, we saw yesterday in Apple shares and really throughout the course of this year so far, Apple shares have not participated, as we pointed out many times, Jim, in the overall rally.
Look, people regard it as a no growth company, 2% max. People are looking at the phone itself. And then insult to injury, Jonathan Cantor on this morning, really basically calling them not a monopolist, but a company that is trying very hard to pressure other companies that are in their universe. I think that there'll be a bit of a hangover. There will be some analysts who actually took it very seriously. It is not the one known for AI, David. The other companies that are in the Magnificent Seven are AI companies, although Tesla cutting production in China is bringing that one down. So I would stay, I would, of course, stay long it. I don't think there was anything in justice that was anything more than a mosaic of odd oddities that they chose to focus on with some pull quotes that I think you would say, Jim, I don't want you to bring that up because they're not substantive enough. I think you would say to me, Jim, if you have something substantive, why don't we use it in the so-called A block? And then you would say, look, let's just hold that back maybe to a mad dash. That's how I feel about the Justice Department's case.
Well,
maybe mad dash, maybe not.
No, forget it. Too bad. You don't get to decide. You started on Apple, so we'll just stay there for now. Point out, by the way, on the AI, let's not forget this week began. I believe it was this week with those stories about Alphabet and Apple. And in fact, helped the stock prices of both.
Bloomberg story still,
yeah.
No real confirmation of it. And by the way, just so we're sure, many people felt that Alphabet itself, the stock, was going to falter badly during this spring. And if you take a look at it, it is one of the best performers. And David, as you know, it's got the fabled reverse head and shoulders chart that I often point out to you as being incredibly important because I know you're a fundamentalist.
I'm a technical analyst, of course. That's what I spend most of my time doing, as you all know. That's reverse head and shoulders, right? Yeah, just wanted to make sure.
I know. And that De Niro outfit has me so transfixed, it's very hard for me to focus.
As I'm sure it would. I'll see you at the disco later.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. I hope, as usual, our Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm taking a red eye because I really have horse sleep. I certainly proved that this week.
Well, you always do. You never sleep. All right, back to Apple. You don't want to give the DOJ a lot of time, but listen, Jonathan Cantor was a guest earlier on Squawk Box talking about the case that they are bringing. As we made the point yesterday, Jim, it will be years in the making, and so who knows. The stock did suffer yesterday, though, on the announcement. Take a listen to a little bit of what Mr. Cantor had to share earlier on Squawk Box.
Our concerns are not with necessarily what Apple is doing with Apple's products. Our concerns are with restrictions when Apple tells others what they can and can't do with their products. That is our primary area of concern, and that is the primary area of our focus in the lawsuit. And ultimately, allowing others to innovate will yield more benefits, including the kinds of benefits that Apple was able to generate. And we talk about this in our lawsuit when it had access to the Windows operating system in the early 2000s so that it could launch products like iTunes, iPod, and the iPhone.
Trying to connect, in fact, previous antitrust actions and the benefits that were brought in part for Apple, as you heard him do there.
Right. Well, look, I think that if we were to look at Costco and say, you know what, if you want to sell in Costco, you're going to have to play by these rules, not by your own rules. By that take, then Jonathan Cantor should go after Costco. It really is that I'm not being facetious. I'm saying it's the same kind of logic. Costco is the second biggest. They can determine a lot of different things. You would go after Costco. And what I'm neglecting to point out, and I should have said right at the top of the show, Jonathan Cantor worked at Paul Weiss. Really nice man.
Oh, no. Are you pulling away on Cantor? What do you mean? You've always said really nice things about Cantor.
Well,
complimented his seriousness, his focus. Now you're just going with nice guy? What happened?
Paul Weiss is my attorney, and they've been so for almost 40 years, and I expected more. I expected more of a rigorous lawsuit. I expected, as I went over it, to see something more than, you know what, we should offer the Apple Watch. It makes it so it's very difficult to get away from the ecosystem. I was shocked. I thought that there would be a smoking gun here. I thought that there was something like Microsoft with this 95% share. I even thought maybe there was a reference to Standard Oil trying to get 100% share. David, instead they're talking about the performance, high-performance phones, and that they dominate high performance. It's actually a brand new category. I've never heard of it before. And frankly, what they're trying to do is say, you know what, it doesn't matter that Apple has 20% worldwide share. Ignore that. And when it comes to the high performance phone, they have a very big share. How did they make up this category? I do not know. And I thought after I finished reading it, that I want the hour and 15 minutes it took me, no more than that. I want that time back. I want it back.
Wow.
So I can focus on more substantive research and things that matter to our viewers.
Okay, I guess we'll do that. And that is quite an indictment from you on the
it is meant
part
to
of
be.
The Department of Justice.
It is meant to be. This sounds like a swan song for someone who recognizes that he may not be running the antitrust department of the Justice Department 6 months from now.
Ooh. Well, that is certainly a real possibility. All right. You want to move on to a couple of the other earnings movers this morning?
Sure.
The only thing I would add on Apple back to AI is this Wall Street Journal report that they held talks with China's Baidu for use on AI and the devices. That's interesting. Makes sense, right? It's not like they're going to be using Alphabet's Gemini in China. You want to use the local provider if you're going to stay in at least the good graces of the Chinese government.
Yes, Google has no... Google and Meta, nothing in China.
So, no, they're not allowed. They're not allowed to be there. Really.
Right. I think that was a really good idea. And that partner would be very, very good. That would actually be something that I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan Cantor put in, since it's equally as unpersuasive.
Wow. Surprise
me.
After all these years of being together, of our long time, you still surprise me. You still make it interesting, Jim.
Well, I just think it was beyond the pale. It was a pastiche, if not mosaic, of very weak analysis.
Don't buy me a bathing suit on Temu, though. No bathing suits on
Temu. No, I thought that if I had hired him at Paul Weiss, I would have come back, and I would throw it back at him, and I would say, pick your best five pages.
Yeah, I didn't get anything out of him there. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I was referring to us like we were married. Did you get it? And then I was referring to that absurd decision you made to buy your wife a bathing suit on Temu.
That was a major mistake and ill-advised. The fire hazard, it came with a fire hazard label, as many things do come from China.
Who would ever do that?
It was a major...
Are you trying to get divorced? What were you thinking?
It came in a FedEx package, and it was just, you know, I opened it up.
A FedEx package. Perfect. Perfect segue.
Oh.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, FedEx shares are going to be up, Jim. You know, the take I'm hearing, having talked to one large shareholder, express margins stronger than had been thought. Even though 2.5% is not much to speak about, it's a lot better than it's been. The cost cutting is starting to take hold. Entirety of the beat appears to have been express margins. This is a company that has blown up previously in a weak demand environment, but the question is maybe they can hang in there if there is one. And they seem to be getting better at managing expectations, not to mention the $5 billion buyback is a big number. What's your take?
2 points here that need to be made. Raj Subramanian has delivered from his first appearance on our network, where he said that it was an unwieldy structure. He's slowly weaning themselves off of the multiple different structures that had been almost like different companies. What's incredible here, David, is the second thing. They had no revenue growth and they made this amount of money. Can you imagine what happens when they get revenue growth? Europe was particularly, really particularly tough for them. David, they've kept 70% of the business that they got from the UPS work stoppage. 70% of the customers who were with UPS, who then went to FedEx, stayed. That's a rather remarkable number. This is a tour de force quarter. And I think that you and I both remember when there might have almost been activists because they had so many MD-111 planes, which are being retired. I applaud this company. They did not have the right infrastructure. They had too many people, 22,000 people now out. Remarkable quarter and deserves to be up this much.
Yeah, right. I mean, they did obviously have a significant activist, a couple of board seats, D.E. Shaw. Let's take a listen to Subramanian from the call describing the quarter.
For the third consecutive quarter, we delivered operating income growth and margin expansion in a declining revenue environment. This is a very positive dynamic and a unique one in our industry. It demonstrates clear progress on our transformation and ability to manage what's within our control.
Matt, I guess the point you're making and the one that I made as well, the fact that they are, again, Express has been one of the key areas of concern, and they are starting to actually show a margin there. You think positive things for the future as well then, Jim?
Most definitely, and I don't think Europe can deteriorate any much more than it has. I do think that Raj recognized with his DRIVE program that there was, unfortunately, I'm going to say a lot of fat, because I think Fred Smith did a great job building this company with an amazing moat. But they just added on, I mean, they ground, they express. He wants to make this into, let's say, a structure that looks like any other company. And when he's done that, you're going to see the earnings power. It is amazing, by the way, that e-commerce, which is part and parcel of their business, is just not strong. It's just not strong because Europe is so weak. China, okay. I don't think that Europe can stay as weak as it is. I've been asking some bankers over there, could it really be this bad?
Yeah.
There is a sense that it's just hard to do business there still. Germany is the problem. Germany is very weak, David. I did not know that.
Yeah, the German economy is not in great shape right now.
It took a turn for the down.
Let's squeeze in Nike shocking. Here. We can get to it again after it opens, but no revenue growth in calendar 2024, says RBC, leaves little to play for. That's a downgrade this morning. You can see the stock is going to be down, slowing China sales as well. What are your thoughts?
They're not delusional, because right at the top they talk about the four things that are wrong. They have to do lean on wholesalers more, continue pushing new product. They don't have that need to sharpen on sports. This is typically the season when you buy Nike because it's ahead of the Paris Olympics. I would urge people not to do so until they come up with a more serious game plan to be able to reverse these problems that they talked about right at the top. I was not as disappointed as they were. Their digital growth was I would put it in the pathetic category. This stock deserves to be down as much as it is, even though it's been a continual decline. By the way, we've been focused on China being badly. I think that's a mistake. I actually thought that it was somewhat of a bright spot versus the United States, which was actually terrible.
And they are sort of taking to criticizing themselves. CEO John Donahoe saying, we know Nike's not performing at our potential.
Yes.
It's been clear we need to make some important adjustments. Not exactly clear what that is. Take a listen to some of his other comments from the call.
Q3 performed in line with our expectations. That said, we know Nike's not performing at our potential. While our consumer direct acceleration strategy has driven growth and direct connections with consumers, it's been clear that we need to make some important adjustments.
All right, essentially saying what I just paraphrased
right.
As well. What do you think those adjustments will be?
Well, I think that they have to decide who they are. I mean, do they go back into other companies' stores? Have they lost share? I would have talked about that to New Balance, lost share to Hoku, lost share to On. They were very, very tough on themselves, even though inventories were down, which I thought was positive. This is a high-performance company that's not operating at its level of high performance. I think John Ho can fix this because it's not like the category's bad. I also think, by the way, air has gotten old. I always thought, when would air get old? It was this quarter. I think they can fix this, but they have to start with really trying to figure out what went wrong and why they didn't do what looked so long for refresh.
Yeah.
But they were hard on themselves, and I respect that.
All right. Well, coming up after we take a quick break, it is going to be day two of trading for Reddit this after what was a strong public debut for the social media company. Let's give you another, our first look at futures this morning. Really not saying much at all. More Squawk on the Street straight ahead.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
We made a profit in the back half of 2023. We grew revenue three times as fast as costs last year. And so what's, I think, beyond the community of Reddit and the platform of Reddit, there's actually a very nice, special business here. And our gross margins are very high, the high 80s, and have been for a long time. And so even small improvements in revenue go straight to the bottom line for us. And so this is truly, I think, a special company in profitability. Is, you know, it's an important milestone for us, and we're getting closer and closer.
That was Reddit CEO Steve Huffman. He was with us right here at Post 9 yesterday, of course, as the social media company had what was a very successful debut. Stock was up 48% as it closed trading. Price was 34, if you recall. Perhaps some of those gains given back today. Jim, you know, that was the big question. He answered it, and certainly the market, at least day one, seemed to be happy. Given they have not been profitable in any one year in the 19 years that they've been around.
I thought that interview was great. And one of the things that is very true that really just surprised me was that Huffman, working with Morgan Stanley, placed this thing very, very well. I know he was actively involved with who it should go with. He went with the sticky people who work at Reddit. I don't think they're going to flip. This was a very well done offering, David. And I think it could have been a major botch. It could have opened at 90 and worked its way down to 40. Instead, it went the other way. It kind of went up, opened pretty good, then kind of went down, then kind of went up the rest of the day, different from Uber, which was a fiasco. I applaud this. And while I know you guys were very tough on him when it comes to when they'll turn a profit, I thought he was a very seasoned exec when you spoke with him. Kudos. Well done.
Any signs it gives out for the broader IPO market? We had another initial public offering this week, Astera, that we talked about that did extremely well in its debut. You know, we've been waiting for what, certainly there are plenty of private companies that have been waiting to go public, and yet they have yet to really show up in force.
I think it's going to matter tremendously. Out here at NVIDIA, I spent a lot of time talking with people who work with NVIDIA for healthcare. They were almost all private companies. They almost all want to tap the equity markets. I think, and they're not phony AI, they're real AI. I think they're ready to roll. I think Morgan Stanley, which is owned by my charitable trust, had been kind of invisible during the period. I think they're ready to bring some deals. Goldman ready. I think it's time. I think it's going to be that spring period before the Hamptons where people get deals done.
All right, we'll see. It'll be interesting because it has been notable by its absence given the strength in the broader market. Jim, get ready. You got a mad dash to close out the week coming up, of course. Let's give you one more look at futures. We get started with trading here about 8 minutes from now. You can see where it's kind of a mixed picture for the broader markets. We're back right after this.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Take a look at the laggards as we head into a trading day. Lulu topping the list. We will get to it. Don't you worry. After the company reported earnings that, as you can see, are not being well responded to, at least if you own the stock. Tesla also, some stories there. We'll also mention that. So you got a lot to tune in for still to come, including Jim's Mad Dash. And by the way, don't forget, you can catch us anytime, anywhere by listening to and following the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast. We're right back. All right, last cross-country mad dash of the week. You know, we saw Lulu. It's going to be down sharply. What's going on there, Jim?
This was a very tough call from a very high-quality management where they just mentioned several times U.S. traffic has slowed. High single digits. I was very surprised. That is a big letdown. The company was really somewhat mortified by what they're talking about, a slowdown. Really pretty much across the board. Broad base is the term they use. This was surprising. And their forecast, 10-11%. David, this is a high growth company. And I think that they themselves were caught unaware at how weak they can be. I don't know if they can pull out this fast. Cal McDonald's is a very well-run company, CEO. I know that they were, I think that they did blame the consumer at one point, not themselves. I think that that is something that I question because the consumer was very strong in a lot of other places. But geez, this was just sheer disappointment. Surprised there weren't downgrades on the street. No one wants to leave this company because it's been so successful.
Right.
Just a weak, weak quarter.
The news that really seems to be moving it is the fact that first fiscal first quarter 24 guidance is for 9-10% increases year over year, Jim, which is below virtually every estimate out there from the analysts.
Yeah, and you know what? You could go to Ralph Lauren and get much, much better numbers. PVH, and we could look at the numbers and say, wow, wait a second. This was just a suboptimal quarter. Now, the question is, should we draw a pattern? Nike, Lulu, are these companies that are just charging too much when others are coming underneath them with good product? That's what I question. They don't address the competition in any of these. They still act as if they're kings. I don't think they're kings anymore.
Yeah, stock opens down over 14, almost 15%. You heard the opening bell there. You can take a look at the real-time exchange back at our headquarters here at the big board. Water technology company Xylem over at the NASDAQ financial services company Citizens and Northern celebrating its 160th anniversary.
Wow.
Well done. It's a long
time.
That's
pretty good.
It's older than you.
How come thank you for that. Xylem doesn't sound very loud, David. Are they is this a bit of a subdued group there?
Yeah, it's not a large group here. Not that large a group.
Yeah, the company had a changeover CE. They had an activist that got involved. I've always felt because of the secular notion of clean water, it's still a winner, but it's not my favorite in the group. By the way, Pentair, which does similar things, was downgraded today. So let's keep that in mind.
Okay, I will keep that in mind. What else do you want to, I don't know, where do you want to start with what
we
haven't
talk about
mentioned
Boeing.
As yet? All right, let's talk
about Boeing.
By the way, when is my apology coming? Because you blamed me for selling the stock when I finally forced your hand.
David,
now, I should
I
point out the stock is up. Ooh, I heard that.
Well, this is 2 days in a row that it's up.
It's up. What doesn't seem to be great news? I don't know, Jim. All right, take it away.
Okay, perhaps there are people who think that the problem with the company is the CEO, David Calhoun. because airline CEOs are seeking a meeting with Boeing directors. They don't want to meet with Calhoun. Perhaps some people say if Calhoun is out, and this is indicative of something that would start the chain of him being out, someone new could come in. David, the board is actually a heavyweight board. And I do think that, let's just say that this could be the beginning of the end if they're going to insist on meeting with the directors. The directors, I'm just looking at them. I mean, you've got a Dave Gitlin, a carrier. He's not a guy who's going to roll over. Nope. You've got Steve Mollenkopf. We know him as a tough person from Qualcomm.
Well, from his time running Qualcomm, yep.
You have a four-star admiral. They tend to be pretty serious and have their own view of things. There's a former United Technologies executive, again, very important. Larry Kellner, the non-executive chairman, knows the business very well from Continental. Yep. A GE aviation person. David, these people are not going to be rolled. If they meet, now they did offer, Boeing in turn only offered Kellner. If these airline executives, which of course the customers press, there will be a change. There will be a change at the top. You can't have your customers rebel against you and think that you can keep the strategy as it's currently manifested.
And those customers obviously frustrated, certainly the ones that rely a lot on Boeing to supply their fleet, by the slowdowns in manufacturing brought about by all of the missteps, Jim, that mean essentially they have fewer planes they can fly. And so there's reduction in capacity, or at least below what they had anticipated coming into the year.
I look for a person like a David Gitlin, who's been so successful a carrier, to want to be at a meeting with the executives. I think this idea of just sending the non-executive chairman is a non-starter when you have your major customers that want to meet with the board.
Yeah, although that is typically, you're going to have sort of your lead director, your non-executive chairman in this case, kind of conduct those in the same way they would with shareholders. You're not going to send the whole board in. That's very atypical, Jim. I mean, maybe you think
that's
they
true.
Should, but
I think they should have a committee that meets. Yeah. I don't think it should just be one person. And, David, the one thing I would say is that there really is only one other maker. Airbus. I don't think these people want to go to Airbus. I also, by the way, think that if there was a change at the top, perhaps the FAA would like that. All that said, Mr. Calhoun, I think, has been very forthcoming in his interviews with Phil LeBeau, but maybe forthcoming doesn't cut it. We've seen time and again that until you had someone change at the top, people feel that nothing can change culturally. This board is, again, filled with people who cannot be bought. It'll be very interesting to see what happens.
And we will watch it and watch it closely, of course, as you take a look at Boeing shares, which, as Jim pointed up, are up. And there's a comparison versus Airbus, which has been gaining market share.
Yes.
Jim. All right. Where else should we head? I mean, Apple shares are down a bit. Meta's down a bit. I see Alphabet, though, eking out some gains so far this morning.
I wonder whether people feel that this story will come to fruition this weekend, perhaps, about something, a tie-in with Apple. There is, by the way, a positive analyst note about how they are they're actually much more in a sweet spot than we thought. The Apple, by the way, you have to get rid of all the people who don't understand what's really going on, that this is a 2-3-4 year issue. They all have to flee because they are what I regard as being summer soldier shareholders.
Summer soldier. Okay. So they're not
Sunshine
in there for
Patriots.
The
they're Sunshine not Sunshine Patriots the... shareholders.
Right. Got it. But don't you feel as though, I mean, what's going to be the catalyst for this stock? You have to wait at the very least for June, don't you, for the developers conference?
Well, I have to tell you, I think the catalyst, number one, will be if they can get Alphabet as, you know, Google as their AI. That means they don't have to spend a fortune. Maybe they can do something in this iPhone 16. But the other, not to beat a horse too severely, but what I saw from Jensen Huang, and what they could be able to become, the streaming the Omniverse to the Vision Pro.
You've talked about it. Yeah, you mentioned
it. But Apple has said nothing.
What was it that you saw, Jim? Because this is, you know, not the first time you brought this up since you've been out there. What has captured your imagination here?
They think at NVIDIA very strongly that you can demonstrate the sale of cars, that Ford Motors should be in touch with them. They have a Nissan relationship. Homes might be better to be looked at through the Vision Pro. And then the $40 trillion market that is manufacturing of factories would be sped up. And if Apple just realized that they should call a company like Siemens, and that everybody who is on the factory floor should be playing a role of the digital twin, and the digital twin streamed by Omniverse to the Vision Pro would be, Jensen Huang says, a game changer for all companies, including Apple. I did notice, by the way, that Medtronic feels that they've been working very closely with NVIDIA to be able to put a lot of AI in their product. It's not a relationship that is for show. But Apple has to demonstrate that they are more interested in this and address the keynote where Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, directly references how well this could be done in order to be able to sell cars.
Why wouldn't Mark Zuckerberg say, hey, we can do this too?
I mean,
remember his famous product review of the Vision Pro, where not unexpectedly he came out and said, I think we do it better?
I think that he should press that. I think that's actually wise. I think they'd rather pair with Apple because they think so much of the Vision Pro. But if Apple doesn't embrace it, I don't think Zuckerberg would be far behind.
Okay. All right. Jim, Tesla shares are down another 3.3%. It's right kind of close to where the, sort of the recent lows. Stock down some 30, let's call it 3% for the year thus far. The latest story that we've got, I believe, is a Bloomberg story from this morning talking about reduced electric car production at the biggest plant it owns. That's in China, of course, the Shanghai plant. They're citing people familiar with the matter, saying that earlier this month they instructed employees at the Shanghai facility to lower production of both the Model Y and the Model 3 sedan. Those are both the ones that are made in China. They're now working 5 days a week. They had been working 6.5 days. That, at least, again, is Bloomberg citing people who were not authorized to speak publicly, but at least spoke to them, I guess.
This is a very challenging moment for them. The Chinese companies have been, I think we've seen, one thing we've seen in the last 6 months, China knows how to build a really great, cheap electric car. Musk has addressed that directly. I am concerned for them, given the fact that that China has become aggressive and China has a government that is willing to help these auto companies. So this is a very difficult situation. And then if you switch over to Germany, the FedEx was saying yesterday that Germany's quite weak. You've got these markets that aren't strong. We're not talking much at all about the Cybertruck. This is just, I still think that you should be interested in owning Tesla because it is so low, but and they raised prices earlier in America, but it is a challenging moment for Tesla and for Musk. Now, David, Musk has got so many things on his plate. I don't know how much he is focused on the day-to-day Tesla.
Yeah, that always becomes a question. Obviously, he seems to have been capable of focusing on a great many things and sort of, but he does sort of move, all right, SpaceX, I'm going to go into demon mode, as they like to call it, for a little while there. There's a problem, and then to Tesla. But to your point, the Chinese automakers have increased the quality of their cars, simply put. The technology right in them, the overall quality of them. It's not just BYD. It's any number of other makers, BYD being the leader. And that just makes for more competitive markets, both obviously in the domestic market in China, but outside of China as well, Jim.
Yes, I keep hearing about the Trojan horse that is Volvo, where you can put the right amount of American content but make most of it in Mexico, get it to the United States, and that would be the company that could upend the market. Mexico, remember that amazing report that just should be talked about far more? Phil LeBeau going to Chile and seeing that has become a Chinese market. If Mexico, 30% of the vehicles are Chinese. They will get them through this country if President Biden isn't careful about addressing this issue. I say this because former President Trump is all over them, trying to stop them from wherever they are. I think President Biden should be more concerned about the state of Michigan and stopping Volvo.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, of course, the other side is you could provide an incredibly low-priced vehicle if you wanted to do that, but of course you would then undermine our domestic manufacturers. That comes in a lot of different areas, not just automobiles. Solar panels certainly is another example for one that we've really tried to keep out to generate some actual domestic manufacturing, not just from
David,
this one
you're
company
saying
for solar.
That the environmental agenda may be put to the side for a moment in order to get so that the unions and again, the state of Michigan get aligned with an election year. I'd hate to think that the planet takes second fiddle to the election year, but it is
there's a lot of things that could be a challenge, including data centers and the power they use, because it's got to come from somewhere.
Right.
Jim, I want to go back to SPAC land, which I visited yesterday for the first time in a while, and you know why, of course, talking about Digital World Acquisition Corp. Our old animation. Remember that? We warned people for so long during that 2021, when SPACs were all the rage. But Digital World Acquisition Corp has been out there for a very long time. Remember, it was underwritten by a firm called E.F. Hutton. It was actually not the old E.F. Hutton. They licensed the name. You got to go way back. And then it was mired in regulatory uncertainty for a very long time as it did not get the review from the SEC, in part because there are a lot of questions about the previous management there having already spoken prior to actually listing and issuing the shares of the SPAC to Trump Media and Technology Group, namely Truth Social being the key thing. But that's all behind us now. The votes today, there's virtually no doubt that shareholders are going to approve this deal, wouldn't you? If you don't, then the deal doesn't happen, and then that's it. SPAC goes away, you get your 10 bucks back. So they're going to approve it at 44 bucks, aren't they? And
yes,
then, as I pointed out, next week, more importantly, the de-SPAC occurs. The additional shares hit the market, and I've tried to explain that to people. Sometimes we may need to go back because people may have forgotten how SPACs work, the sponsor shares. The new shares that come in, Trump Media and Technology Group is going to own some, by my reading of the latest filing, some 87.5 million shares, and then had the opportunity to earn another 40 million shares in what could be a very quick manner, because all those shares have to do is stay above 1750 for that 40 million. For 20 trading days for that 40 million to go. So you're talking 127.5 million shares. Trump owns 90% of that. It's an enormous potential number, Jim. But the question, of course, is if and when you go to try and monetize, what happens? Because we are talking about a company that thus far has had very little in the way of revenues, some $3 million for what would be, if you do all in and include warrants and converts, you get a share base of over 200 million, so you can do the math. Thing would be worth over 8 billion at the time of its de-SPACing. That's fully diluted, really around 169 million shares, it appears, at the time of de-SPACing.
You were the first person to go over this. I spent a lot of time parsing what you said. DJT would be the, the symbol if
That's
this
right.
deal goes through on Monday. And David, I can't believe there'll be a bank that wants to make that so-called, really what is a margin loan for President Trump using that stock, because if that stock goes down precipitously, then you will have a Twitter on your hands, which obviously hurt Morgan Stanley for a while. But maybe worse, because here, at least there was revenues. There's almost no revenues here. I think you brought to the fore the problem writ large of SPACs. I remember you did the same thing with Lucid. This one is far worse. This is one where it is political that the stock is up here. The faithful obviously want it up here. But, David, this company would never be, if it weren't connected with Trump, valued at even one-tenth of what it's going to be valued at.
Yeah, that would seem to be the case, at least based on fundamentals. Now, that said, if he were to win the presidency and use Truth Social as his way to communicate once again, you could make a case that it will become a vital area for everybody to at least be watching. And so advertising revenue would probably significantly increase. Jim, it's fascinating for that reason. We're keeping an eye on it. As I said, the vote, no question really today. De-SPACing next week, maybe on the 26th or so. We'll see what the date is. And then we'll be able to watch DJT trade. Now, again, if you want to try to access those shares and start selling, that could be the end of it in some way. And to your point, while I reported yesterday that there have at least been conversations that I've been hearing took place, though haven't been able to confirm, about would there be a way for him to at least use some of the shares as collateral for a loan, that has not happened. To your point, okay. Jim, that has not happened. So,
you know, David, you raised an amazing point yesterday. You said you cannot borrow it. And I was realizing maybe people should realize at home what that means, that people are gunning against it, but they can't win, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the borrow is something like 300. You know, it's you can if you want to pay some crazy number, right. But it virtually makes it impossible to do so, at least for most. Yeah, so
it's incredible how it's not rigged, obviously, but the system is not going to be able to work well. The capital system won't work well with this particular item, in part because there are people who recognize that maybe this could get President Trump out of what's perceived to be a jam for cash.
Exactly. But again, on paper, at least, when this thing is trading publicly as DJT, if it maintains the current price, his stake alone, or the company that he's merging into it, Trump Media and Technology Group, will be worth some $5.7 billion, Jim. All right, before we hit a break, I want to check with you. Anything else you wanted to hit this morning?
I remember if Donaldson, Lufkin, Jenrette would be around, they'd be able to finance it. Remember they financed all of Trump's junk bonds for casinos?
Yes. Yes,
they're not in business. That would be a logical place to go.
DLJ is, no, that became a part
DJT
of...
DJT does not have
Weber,
DLJ.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that something? They were so good, but they did those deals.
They got a decent price when they sold DLJ.
Oh, yes, yeah. They did. Well, so, they were quality, and I missed them because the three
DLJ,
principals were
UBS,
extraordinary
yeah,
people.
Payne Weber, yeah, they all... Actually. All right, I'll give you a bond report. I know you've been wanting to hear one, Jim. We're going to check out how Treasuries are faring this morning, of course. A couple of days since our big Fed meeting and the press conference where we heard Jay Powell. And there's a look at yields. 10-year is down 4.214 as we kind of close out the week here. And you can see the 2-year note also below 4.6. We'll be right back. All right, week's top gainers, of course, Micron on the earnings. That was yesterday. You can see the gains there. FedEx, we've discussed this morning as well. And there's Broadcom. Powering ahead to one of the largest market values in the current stock market, some $630 billion. We're back right to this. All right, there's Cramer. Oh, are you getting a tour there? What am I looking at here, Jim?
I went over to see the robotics section. It was rather amazing because the robotics, I think, are the ones that are going to be most improved by the new chip, Blackwell. They're not there yet. They're doing mostly pedestrian things. When they're done, that bartender will be able to make me a much better drink than he made me yesterday or 2 days ago. That was a mocktail, by the way, just so people know.
Yeah, I know. You're not drinking during the day, and there you are. That's wow. You're doing that's
well. That's
Vision
me
Pro,
being
right?
the. That's yeah. me that saying that Apple should be talking right now to Jensen, that because that's me in a Nissan car. I had no idea I was not in the car. That's cold rolled steel right there. There's me opening the trunk.
You look very strange there.
There I am sitting in the bucket seat,
trying to
fix the seat belt. And then ultimately I get out and I don't realize I'm not in the car. And I swing my leg as if I'm basically worried about hitting the rocker panels.
All right, we got a short time for a stop trading. What do you got? Chipotle?
You know, I feel like we... There's an issue going on right now with how much a stock split really means. Watch Chipotle. I think it went up a huge amount because they announced the split. Now, of course, what you do need is some earnings or some upgrades. But I think that, David, we're going to talk about the split next week because it's the first time I've heard an actual economic reason for why it's justified. It's just so much easier to buy a stock with a large order if you do a 50-for-1. I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, well, you won't because I'm going to be away next week. But what do you got tonight?
No, you're supposed to say you'll be off for the morning, for heaven's sake.
So I'm on assignment. I'm going to be on assignment relaxing somewhere. What do you got tonight
on
the show? Yeah, thanks.
I've got Okta, which, by the way, I think is made a comeback from a terrible breach they had to become, once again, the number one in identity. Roblox had a terrific quarter. And then Amrita Ahuja, David Block has made some incredible, that's the old Square, some incredible changes and really trying to become much more of a bank. It's a winner. I got three winners tonight.
You've had winners all week, Jim. Really great.
Thank you.
Just great, great stuff. Great content, as we like to say. Great IQ.
Justice is served, David.
Justice is served. All right. Well, finish up the week strong. I know you will, and I'll see you soon enough.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.